Let us pray. Almighty God, as we continue to think about this book of Jonah, we ask that you would speak to us afresh as we continue to reflect upon his journey, the journey he took with you. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. For those that were here last week, you will know that we began looking at chapters 1 and 2 of Jonah. If you weren't here, or if you were, just a very quick recap. The word of God came to Jonah, and God instructed him to go to Nineveh to preach a word to them. Nineveh were a very evil city, a great enemy of Israel. And obviously Jonah knew this. He hated them, did Jonah? And Jonah decided that he didn't want to go to Nineveh, which was east of where he was. So he set off to Tarshish, which was about 2,500 miles to the west of where Jonah was. He went down to Joppa, the local port, and got in a boat to sail to Tarshish to get as far away as he possibly could from Nineveh, because he feared, not necessarily feared what they would do, but he feared them actually turning from their evil ways and turning to God. On the boat, the great storm arose, and he fell asleep in the lower decks of the boat. And in the end, as we probably know, he got thrown overboard in order that the storm would be calmed, and ended up in the belly of the fish, and then from there pray to God a prayer of thanksgiving. And at the end of last week's readings, Jonah had been vomited out of the fish onto the beach, basically. Now, I don't know how many of you here have had teenage children or near teenage children. Might have had the experience that Ruth and I have had on several occasions when we go into their bedrooms and say, please remove those plates and those cups and put them in the kitchen. And we repeat that instruction several times. Or we may go into the bedroom at another time and there's a used wet towel just screwed up into the tightest possible ball they can get it in, and simply left on the floor. And again, we plead with them, please put that either in the washing basket or on a radiator to dry. And I was thinking about that as I reflected this week on Jonah. For God's instruction came to Jonah a second time. And I wonder, was he like a teenage child? The first time God had asked him to do something, he ran in the opposite direction. The second time God asked him, as we heard at the very beginning of that reading, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to that great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. But this time, rather than running as far away as he possibly could, he goes to Nineveh. He obeyed the word of the Lord, we're told, and he went to Nineveh. So he'd run to Tarshish. He was trying to get as far away as possible. He'd been in the belly of the fish, vomited out, and now he obeys God's word. There's no more running. There's no more hiding. There's no more boats. There's no more fish. No more being vomited out onto the beach. Jonah went and Jonah obeyed. It is easy for me to criticise my teenage or near teenage children, but I actually think there's a bit of the teenage child and that rebellious streak within each one of us. There are times, I'm sure, in your life when you've perhaps ignored God's prompting or God's call. And I want to share with you an experience of mine when I did that. One occasion in my life, I'd gone to Haywood, to the Aldi in Haywood. I'd completed my shopping, and I was walking back to the store with my shopping trolley. And out of the store came a man. He wasn't carrying any bags. He'd obviously been into the shop, either to look round or to purchase something. And suddenly I felt within me the urge to simply say to him, God loves you. I don't know where it came, well, I do know where it came from. I've never really had that experience before. I had a strong urge as I walked towards him and as he walked towards me to say to this man, God loves you. I didn't know him from Adam. And he walked past me and I walked past him. I put my trolley back into the rack. Suffice it to say, I didn't say that to that man on that occasion. I got into my car, I drove off the car park, and as I stopped at the end of the road, I watched him for a few seconds walk down the road a little bit, and he stopped. And out of his coat, he pulled a bottle of cider and began to drink it. There are several times that I've regretted not saying to that man those words that I felt I should have said. Would they have had an impact? I don't know. Would they have changed his life? I don't know. But there are times when I've said to God, if that ever happens again, I hope and pray I will have that opportunity to share what I felt God, and I firmly believe what God was prompting me to say that morning to that man. I have no idea where he went, who he was, and where he is now. But what I am thankful for is that we serve a God who gives us that second chance, who gives us that third chance, who gives us sometimes that fourth chance to do that which he's asked of us to do. So God didn't wave Jonah off on a boat. God didn't choose somebody else. He didn't see that Jonah had gone and therefore I'll find somebody else to preach this word to Nineveh. God had infinite patience. And friends, nothing can exclude us from being a child of God. Whatever we've done in the past, the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God can cover. Whatever we will do in the future, the blood of Christ and the grace of God will cover. And as we heard read in that passage from Louise a moment or two ago, Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached the word of God. And as we said last week, Nineveh was not in a good place at all. They'd not been kind to Israel. They were seen as an evil nation and were generally hated. And the response from the Ninevites was probably not what Jonah was fully expecting and the immediacy of it. For we are told the Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. They went into mourning. They showed great repentance for their sin and their wrongdoing. They went from being worshippers of other gods to worshipping the God of Israel. And even the king, when the message got to him, rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. We are told in chapter 4 that we'll hear in a moment or two's time that there were more than 120,000 people who lived in that great city. And from what we hear, all of them turned to God through this one man who eventually, given that second chance, was willing to go and say the things that God wanted of him. Sometimes we have to see through God's eyes, listen with God's ears, and have the mind of God. We have to trust in the call and the equipping that God gives to us and provides for us. For he will give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the mind to think. When Jonah, being willing to be used by God, that great city, who'd carried out some heinous crimes, turned to God, repented of their wrongdoing, and became believers. Thank God that he is gracious, compassionate, forgiving, and a God of the second chance. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you gave Jonah that second chance. You didn't simply turn your back on him like he did on you. You showed patience and grace and mercy. May we, like him, be shown that same grace and mercy when we run in the opposite direction and close our ears to your call. Help us, Lord, we pray, to step out in faith and to trust you. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.